We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to the Miami Heat Beat Postgame Show. I'm your host, Giancarlo Navas. And with me today on the playoff-bound Miami Heat Postgame Show, we got Heat Twitter President Alf. What a surprise.
Ooh, Heat Twitter President. Yeah, somebody go tell Mike Ryan he's got nothing to do with this shit, baby.
The streets do not recognize Mike Ryan.
Bro, you wasn't even like the Heat Twitter fucking bracket they did. Bro, you can't hold.
Well, that bracket. Bracket was a little bit of bullshit. Missing some people.
Get the fuck out. Mike Wright. I started Heat Twitter. Get the fuck out of here, bro.
You've been saving that one for a week. Holding on to that one.
Bro, I was out here with Skinny McGee and them boys.
And them boys.
This is Chucker, horse cocking people.
Oh, man. This is Chucker. That's a name, baby. That's an OG. Listen, that's OG.
Let's talk about it, Mike Ryan. You're welcome to come on the show anytime and debate me.
The other voice you heard is Moose. What's up, Moose? It's been so long.
So long, but it is finally playoff time, so I am here to hit ya one time with a playoff drip drop.
We back.
We so back.
I did that. I almost forgot.
Chat's asking if I'm allowed to be happy.
No. No, chat. No. Fuck him. He's not allowed to be happy. Let me tell you something. One of the only reasons I came on the show tonight, I threw out my back earlier. I'm in a lot of fucking pain. I'm all hopped up on fucking Motrin. And you're drinking? And Bullet Bourbon. Actually, start with Basil Hayden, but you can't. That's a first half kind of thing. You know, it's very expensive. Back hurts. I'm all fucked up. Like, I'm struggling through this, but I had to show up to tell G to shut the fuck up. You fucking no guts having coward. Like, I have never been so fucking embarrassed to be a part of Miami Heat Beat than watching you cry and bitch and moan like a little pussy all over the fucking timeline today. Oh, they're going to win. They're ruining my life. Oh, I have to do a posting show. Oh, I have to take an hour out of my day to do a podcast. Like, don't do the fucking podcast.
We're planning ahead. You should have known what was coming tonight. Come on, are you even watching the team?
What are you doing? I don't understand. First of all, like, why did you think Spo was gonna lose a shorthanded game?
That was my mistake. Like,
he lives for this shit,
bro. This was a Spo masterclass incoming. I said it. Mm-hmm. Like, listen, and I'm not gonna. I'm sorry, I've derailed your fucking. But I don't know what your format is. I've never watched the show when I'm not on it. But. Like, you had to know that what was coming. And so, like, as soon as, like, the dust settled on the Jimmy injury, go back and look at my timeline. It has been nothing but shit-talking, like, to the max, because I know what Spo does. Spo lives for this. He's a fucking sicko. Like, he is so excited with Jimmy, like, that Jimmy's down. Like, he's going to have, like, listen, I don't know if they're going to beat the Celtics, but they're going to get a game on those motherfuckers.
We have enough, Alf. We have enough.
We're going to get one fucking game. and don't let us get one.
Don't let them get one.
That's
don't
it.
Let them get one.
If we get one, it's over.
Ooh, I'm telling you, Duncan Robinson 32-point game four, it's going to feed generations, okay? Mm. I'm just letting you guys know that shit right now.
Hawkins in fucking Boston, going to go down as a legend. Going to go down as a legend.
The ethnic slurs that will fly at Jaime Hawkins.
Get this Puerto Rican off the court! I can already hear it. I didn't say it. Boston said it.
You thought there was a migrant crisis. Wait till fucking Jaime goes off in Boston.
TD Garden is going to be a GOP convention.
Listen, crisis at the border.
If they win game one. Listen, if they win game one, it doesn't matter what happens in game two. They come back tied 1-1 for game three.
They're getting game
all
two.
All of the pressure is on Boston. That's what you guys don't understand. And there's one thing that Boston or that I will say Coach Mozzarella Joe cannot stand is the pressure. All right. This is the matchup that he did not want because he know that Spo has got his ass on the X's and O's. Brass, take me out.
Stuffing that fucking weirdo into a locker. Like, it's going to be, I'm telling you, the masterclass. Like, tonight was just the fucking tip of the iceberg. Like, listen, it's gonna be a chess match. I don't think they're taking game one. Maybe they'll take game two. Like, it's gonna be a back and forth. Joe Mazzulla's gonna get in his fucking head. He's gonna be watching the town. What was he saying today? He watches fucking children's shows to teach his kids.
I think
kids
it was
lessons.
Cartoons. Yeah.
Oh, like the
Did
dude's gonna
do
be.
That?
The dude's gonna Something miss like a that, fucking yeah. shoot around watching repeats of Bluey. Spo is going to fuck his head up. It's gonna be
Joe Mazzulla tweeting about how deep Bluey is when they move back into the house.
Spoiler.
I don't know if you saw that tweet going around. It was really funny.
I thought, but like,
I don't know what these adults watching Bluey. It's a little weird.
She's strictly Elmo so far.
If you have kids, I get it. If you don't, it's like, what are you doing? Are you okay?
Do adults without kids watch Bluey?
Weird, bro.
You should be on a list.
Brian Goins does it.
Brian should be on a list.
Kind of backing up Alf's point there.
Hey, yo, quick shout out to Chief Doomologist, Shane Marley, Vane Hype, Mr. Robot, all subscribed to Tier 1. Love that shit, Bronx Joker, as well. Guys, appreciate the support from you guys. So, Chicago, absolutely, that team sucks, bro. I mean, you want to talk about dog shit? What the fuck was that? That was just incompetence to the max. And those dudes didn't want to trade Alex Caruso. They wanted to hoard Alex Caruso from good teams to do that? Fuck you, bro. I hate them. I hate Vooch. I hate Caruso. I hate that organization. They can go to hell. What the hell was that?
You know what's funny, man? It's like, could you imagine, like, you're Kobe White, right? You're feeling good. Greatest game you've ever had, and it doesn't count in the stat sheet, first of all. Like,
I didn't even think of that.
Lost it.
It's a race to record book. Yeah. And then you're like, yo, I balled up Murray and Trae Young.
Coming out game, like, ESPN primetime.
Yeah, and then they're like, yeah, but we got Caleb Martin, Haywood Highsmith, and DeLon Wright on your ass this game. Like, could you imagine, like, SWAT the team. High – going from high to low like that, like he was like on cloud nine, like, and I'm like, did you guys? And I, honestly, Richard Jefferson did a really good job on the broadcast. Like, did you think you could come in with the same game plan against Miami that you did against Atlanta? Maybe the worst defensive backcourt I've ever seen in my life. Like,
and we watched Rozier and Hero.
Hey, chill, because tonight Tyler Hero was your boy. Shout out Zaslow. Gotta hit him one time for the guy that saved your season, G. Drip drop for 14.
Or ruined his life.
You know, he does a little bit of both, but when he's home, you know, we're gonna celebrate the dub.
I mean, Tyler was excellent defensively tonight, I thought. Like,
he was active. He was good.
Tyler was on his shit tonight from the very jump of the game. But one thing I do want to say, Alf. The Bulls came in, and this is going to sound like, you know, I'm being a little bit braggadocious, but I really mean it. They came in completely defeated from the start. They were overconfident, I think, with knowing that Jimmy wasn't going to play tonight. Especially to your point, coming off the Kobe White game, I think that they felt like this was going to be an easy W, regardless of, you know, the pesky Miami Heat defense. I think they really thought that they were going to have this one. And to back that point up, they didn't even bother to plan a trip to Boston. At least the Miami Heat came in tonight and said, hey – our bags are packed. We got our tickets. Your tickets are back home. You already know that you're going to lose this game.
Yeah, it was a weird Slater talk. That, like, of course they had a ticket to Boston already. Like,
they're responsible. It's like, an FAA value.
Yeah, like, come on. Like, what are you going to, like, you're going to book tickets at 2 o'clock in the morning? Like, come on. Anyway. But yeah, like, it was, I never really had a doubt that in a one game, like, a one game sample scares the shit out of me with this team. But once Jimmy went down and Spo was like, oh, I gotta go to work. Like, that's the funny thing. Okay, so this is not to demean Jimmy at all. It's actually a testament to Jimmy. I knew once Jimmy went down, you were going to see better performances out of two guys, Spo and Tyler Hero. Because those are two guys that take nights off all the fucking time because Jimmy's cooking, right? And they just end up watching Jimmy. Like, Spo's like, I'm not going to call the end of gameplay because Jimmy's out there. Now, like, without Jimmy, Spo's got to get in that lab and he's got to cook. Tyler Hero, he's got to be, I mean, you saw him making really good decisions, almost a triple-double tonight. Super decisive, defensively on top of things. Like, wasn't just a participant in the game, was, like, literally dictating and controlling the game. Bam Adebayo, like, I mean, I don't think he didn't score a lot. Was he 13 points? But, like, he was super decisive.
Didn't get enough rebounds aggressive. Either. Shout out 11 and a half.
Oh shit! He only had 4 rebounds. Like that. Well,
yeah.
Like, but
you know, we'll celebrate. Nice night. No matter what, you know, we'll celebrate.
But it's funny. His assignment was DeMar DeRozan. Like, and the broadcast didn't pick up on that enough, right? Like, they were like, "Oh, DeMar DeRozan hasn't been aggressive." Like, he has 6'10" Bam draped on him. Like,
by the way, shout out to Nico for handling the assignment on Vooch, because that's what they did. They put Nico on Vooch, and then they're like, "All right, Bam. Go get Big Dog."
It was a big night for both the rookies tonight. I mean, Jaime, I expected this going into it, and I expected a good game from Nico, but it's nice. I'm sorry? Well, that's true. I call it a red shirt year, you know? But I look at both of them as the young guns. These playoff minutes are going to be very, very important. For the very least, whatever they experience in Boston, it's going to be beneficial for them for this offseason and the development.
Alf, how do we feel about Duncan's today? Because he was kind of questionable with his back. And he played 12 minutes tonight, had 8 points, was 2 for 4 from three. You know, you're the Duncan Hive master. How are we feeling about his minutes?
Ooh, my boy just warming up. So, when I tell you Spo played this shit perfectly, I'm telling you, like, listen, talk about Spo masterclass, the Duncan masterclass is incoming. Like, what he's about to do to Boston, like, they won't know what to do with their racism when Duncan Robinson and Tyler Hero are busting that ass. Like, it is going to be, like, it's going to be so awkward for them.
So bittersweet,
like, they
won't know.
Oh, and he's, like, one of them. He's, like, a New Englander. Yeah. Oh, my God. Like, it's going to be
like a spy gone rogue. Playing for the wrong team.
Listen, they're going to – I mean, they're probably going to come out with some whack disses, like, you Benedict Arnold. I don't know what they're going to do. It's just going to be
– Charlatan!
Judas, like, it's going to be
– Hey, buddy.
It's going to be really, really awkward. But listen, like, what I did like tonight, like, still, I don't think Duncan's moving like Duncan. Especially, like, offensively, like, where it was just, like, he would just – I mean, he was a blur. He was, like, you know, Rip Hamilton back in the day, just constantly moving, constantly going through screens. He hasn't been like that in weeks, right? He's not right. He's not fully healthy, but he looked better tonight than he has in any of these recent games. And he hit a couple threes. I like the fact that he went to the rim a few times. He got Bam on a lob. He had that missed shot, got his own rebound, put it back up. Like, he was doing some of those early season Duncan things before his back started to bother him. I don't think he's all the way back, but I thought what was good tonight that Spo got him game time minutes. Like, they didn't need him tonight. But Spo's played him in small spurts. But these are the kind of little incremental steps that are going to get him back to where he needs to be. Because let's be quite frank. Like, I joke a lot about, you know, Duncan Hive. I'm the biggest Duncan fan in the world. Like, this offense doesn't move without him. Like, and without Jimmy there, if Terry's coming back or not, like, they need Duncan spacing. Because I don't know about you guys, but I'm not relying on Jaime Hawkins, Caleb Martin threes in the series against Boston. They need real spacing. And if Duncan is not right, it's going to be a quick series.
So I totally agree with you. And to be honest, they're just going to need shooting in general to be able to kind of fill that gap that they're going to be missing with Jimmy. They're not going to be able to get to the free throw line that much, I imagine. So they're going to have to make that up by shooting the ball. But I just imagine they're going to have a lot of play, a lot of Kevin Love and shooters, and they're just going to spread the floor for Hero, and they're going to try to dribble a handoff and do this shit that they do to at least put a little bit of scare in Boston.
I saw something really, really interesting in the chat, and I don't want to lose it. I think it's honestly, I don't want to just keep blowing by this game because I do want to talk about Kendrick Perkins and Mike Wilbon at halftime. That
had them muted. Don't even know what the fuck they said.
I'll get into it.
Thanks. I skipped them, honestly.
I tweeted Perkins, how do you like the crowd now, you big country fuck?
nice.
I mean, par for the course when it comes to me. But somebody in the chat was saying, and this is super interesting. I haven't even gotten to this point yet. I didn't even think about this. Like, you saw what they did with Jovic on Vucevic, right? Mm-hmm. Which allowed like Bam Adebayo to guard the other team's best wing, which is like an insane thing to say. Like, somebody pointed out in the chat, Jovic is going to be guarding Kristaps.
Yeah.
Oh yes. Oh yes. Like, that is the benefit of having a guy that is 6'11", almost 7 feet, and can defend the other big. That's gonna free up, to your point, like you just said, that's gonna free up Bam to be on those wings, because we're gonna need to pressure Brown and Tatum as early as possible. You can't let them get off from the jump, especially at home.
So like even if you have a Brown Tatum pick and roll and it's Caleb and Bam switching, you feel good about that. And then you got Haywood coming off the bench. Like, you feel better about that than if you would in any other circumstance. Like, it's honestly it's they've proven tonight that Jovic can guard one of these guys. And I know Kristaps is better than Vucevic. I know. But he presents some of the same problems.
Well, I also think that, like, you know, so Miami plays kind of like they play a matchup zone. So they'll match up and then they'll zone up. And I think that what you're talking about is important, because they're going to play a lot of zone. And I think that he's going to have to be able to survive when he's on the ball against Kristaps. He's going to have to know, like, okay, what pump fakes do I not go for? He's the guy that will fake and go to the lane. So I totally agree with everything that you guys are saying. And, you know, they're going to need all hands on deck. This is not a series. They don't have a luxury of being like, okay, well, we can't play Jovic right now because he's being targeted on defense. You know, you got to survive. You got to guard your yard. Everybody's going to have to contribute. And Alf, I totally see what you mean and your point about it's kind of a house money series. You get to watch Spo just kind of cook with a half full pantry. He's going to get to cook and he's going to make magic. And it's going to be kind of fun.
Yeah.
Like, it's nothing but pressure on Boston. I can't stress that enough. Like, get one and Mazzulla is fucked. I'm telling
you, he's going to be naked in his room watching Bluey reruns. It's going to be fantastic.
Him and Brian going.
Moose, G is like, oh, I don't want to see them get swept by Boston. At this point, who cares? Like, if they do get swept, you know what I've been talking so much shit to Boston fans. Like, just because, why would you hide? Like, it's the most fun time. Because
I'm already seeing what they're saying. They're already saying, we're going to exercise the Heat playoff demon. They're going to spin this. They're going to spin the narrative.
They have more people than we do.
They can't. We are without Butler. They have nothing to go
with. They're going to spin it anyway.
Bro, nobody but believes it doesn't matter. You need more people. Like, nobody's going to care. If Boston wins this series in four, like, they have not proven anything. Nothing.
Nothing.
If they win it in five, they're going to get clowned. If they win it at six, they're going to get super clowned.
It's over.
If they win it in seven, like, it's a wrap for them. NBA Twitter will be on their heads. And if they lose this series, come
on, bro.
Oh, my
God. That's our championship.
Like, listen, pack it in. Pack it in. If they beat Boston, like, but that here's the thing, like, and I don't think they're going to beat Boston. Like, if I was going to have to put money on it, I never would. But all I'm saying is, like, now you have a puncher's chance. Like, you have Spo in the lab against Mozzarella. Like, that dude's Mozzarella a clown. Joe. Spo's a genius. Melton. And it's shorthanded Spo. Like, I'm going to war with shorthanded Spo all day, every day. And honestly, this is just fun now. Now, if they were in this series with Jimmy, I'd be shitting myself.
If they are in this with Jimmy, then the stakes are high on both sides. Both fan bases are talking shit, but also like kind of fanning the flames and like afraid of it and all that. But I will say, and I know I said this earlier, I really mean it. I think this is going to be huge for Hyman. Like, he could give you some of what you're really – he's not going to be Jimmy Butler. That's not at all what I'm trying to say. But he can give you some of what Jimmy was going to bring to the table, especially on the defensive end. And if he could just average, like, 12 points a game, which I think he literally could do in this series, then that gives us a puncher's chance, and that's only going to benefit him down the road. This series for his development is amazing. I love that he's getting this opportunity.
Hyman's been great the last, like, 2 weeks.
He has. He started to get back to that, that game, getting to the rim. You know, like the Euro steps, the footwork in the lane, and like he's starting to finish again. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, he was Euro stepping and footworking his way to a fucking bunch of bricks, like right at the rim, for months, and he hit that wall. The groin injury clearly bothered him, but now he's getting out on the break. He's finishing on the break. He's finishing in the lane. Like, he's doing a lot of those things that we really were excited about. But, like, and here's the thing, though. It's not going to be enough. Like, Jaime ain't going to be the difference. No. Jovic ain't going to be the difference. I joke about Duncan. Duncan's going to really help their offense. But what's going to have to happen is somehow Tyler Hero is going to have to be able to figure out Derek White. And that is going to be a fucking nightmare. Because they're going to put Derek White on Tyler Hero.
White on white.
White on white. And honestly, if Terry Rozier doesn't come back, which doesn't look like he's going to come back anytime soon. I mean, honestly.
Neck injuries are tricky, man.
When did he get hurt, bro? I don't know when this injury happened. I talked to Tiff and Bond, and we're like, when the fuck did he get hurt?
Well, it was, I can't remember when he got hurt. But the thing with him is, I feel like him and Duncan try to come back against. What happened? What did I miss?
Not gonna read it, but it was.
No. Direct drop.
Anyway,
that's an Easter egg for the people that are watching live. They can enjoy that.
when Duncan and Terry try to play that game so they could beat the Pacers, I think that set both those guys back on their injuries.
Yeah.
And now we just got to figure it out. I don't think Terry's coming back, but it'd be really fun for Terry to get a little revenge against the Boston Celtics.
If he could get one game at Boston,
yeah,
that'd be huge.
I'm gonna say something kind of crazy. I think that like not playing Terry is like low key. I think it low key helps them because they can put more defenders on the floor, and I just don't think that they. I think they're gonna have to win this series by making it as ugly as possible. And I just think that, like, that's going to be hard when you're playing Love, Hero, Duncan, and Terry at, you know, like, in the rotation. So I think just more DeLon, less offense is probably, like, oddly a net positive for you. Not that, you know, not that they're better without it, but I just think given the circumstance, they just got to make it a rock fight. And I think that they got to make it a rock fight and hit enough threes. And I think that with DeLon in the lineup more than Terry, I think they can closer achieve that objective.
You got to muddy it up. You got to be physical. For as much as we're going to lose with Terry Rozier's offense not being out there, because him getting to the rim is another aspect that kind of opens things up for us. And yes, that will be missed. But DeLon is the type of defender that is going to get things muddy that benefits our team right now in this 7-game series.
Are we even in the play-in if we didn't decide that for like 7 games, Patty Mills was our backup point guard?
They take at least one of those games, bro.
At least one.
I'm gonna find out how many points they lost by in Patty Mills minutes. I need to know because it feels like enough to swing a game, bro.
I mean, it's like literally like you watch DeLon out there, and it's like, listen, he ain't gonna score 1,000 points. But what he's not going to do is fuck up, and he's going to play great defense. He's a difference maker, and, like, he makes – for some reason, like, Caleb turned into a different defender when DeLon's on the court next to him. The two of them are so fucking disruptive.
They feed off each other. Yeah.
And we decided for, like, 2 weeks, we don't need DeLon Wright. Okay. It's just super fucking weird.
I got the numbers. Do you guys want to guess who the player all season cumulatively has the worst – plus minus on the team. He is minus 107. Who?
Jay Rich.
You're correct. Drew Smith.
He has a poor rook too. That's not
Drew,
fair.
Drew Smith comes in at number two at minus 43.
Drew God. Smith, that fucking guy. I'm still pissed off about that one. Fucking
Patty Mills. We didn't give Moron his farewell tour because we had to keep Drew Smith.
Patty Mills plus 45. He was more than Duncan, who was plus 38 on the year.
Plus minus is a dumb stat.
Yeah, no, agenda's a fuck plus minus. Plus minus is fucking stupid. Who gives a fuck about plus minus?
I mean, but come on, we saw what Patty Mills looked like.
Now we have eyes, bro. We have eyes.
Listen, we saw what you did
that first footage. Half against OKC.
What's up, guys? It's Pablo the intern here, and I know I'm interrupting your podcast, but we have to talk about the company Unified Healing that is sponsoring today's episode. You may be wondering, what is the Unified Healing? Well, I'm about to tell you. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System for short. This technology is perfect whenever you're tired, you need some relaxation, or you just want to feel good. G and I already had the pleasure of visiting one of the centers here in Miami, and my God, it was amazing. Interested in experiencing the EE system technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/heatbeat to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/heatbeat. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
There was not much going on there.
Oh, well, Patty? I don't remember that game. I was probably drunk.
Wasn't that the game that he scored like 16?
That was his first
like
game.
That?
Yeah, he had like a bunch of threes.
Oh, yeah. And then everybody was like, everyone went crazy. And I was like, come on, guys, it's still Patty fucking Mills.
Yeah, I know. Even I got tricked. We were all fooled. Yeah, man, it's just, you know, being in the playoffs is a cool thing, and playing a rival is a cool thing. And
yeah, I don't believe anything you just said. You sound so fucking mad. No. Yeah, being in the playoffs is cool.
I'm trying to be positive for the audience.
It is a big deal. This is what these guys play for. And yes, without Jimmy,
played for this against the Wizards earlier in the year. I'd be a different story. That was one of the things I got mad at, Alf, is because, like, they came out today looking like a fucking basketball team. And I've seen them so many times this year. And I'm like, where the fuck was this in Washington? Where the fuck was this against a Memphis against the team? Wall.
They had more games. They knew the playing was coming.
A fucking G League team, bro. All the home games they lost. It's like, that's the shit that gets me angry.
I haven't been on the show a lot. I've been doing a lot of podcasts. But, like, I've been on record saying, like, one of the problems with this team, and honestly, they went on a losing streak when Tyler was out at one point. One of the problems with this team is, and the fact that I never wanted Tyler starting, is because when Jimmy and Tyler are on the floor together, it looks like shit. Like, and, like, we can, there's like a 4-game stretch where it looks good and everybody's in my mentions. Oh, what about now? Shut the fuck up. Like, there's like a 5-year sample of Tyler Hero starting with Jimmy Butler, and it's not good, okay? Like, it's never good. And honestly,
minus on the year. They're minus about 1.5 per 100 possessions when they're on.
But
the
I don't even blame Tyler as much. Like, Jimmy just gets Jimmy just gets super passive when Tyler's on the floor with him to start a game. And then this year, Jimmy. I mean, even when Tyler wasn't there, it was hell to get Jimmy started. Like, but the best lineup they've had all year, starting lineup, was Kyle Lowry, Duncan Robinson, Jimmy Butler, Haywood Highsmith, and Bam Adebayo. That was the best starting lineup the entire year. Yeah. It's the problem is, and this is frustrating as a Heat fan, because we've watched how many deep playoff runs without Tyler Hero. Best regular season that they've had was Tyler Hero off the bench at Sixth Man of the Year.
Yes.
Like we can keep fucking around and trying to play around with it. And what's the problem is Tyler Hero and Jimmy Butler just don't work together at all. And that's why I'm like, okay, maybe they got a little chance here with Jimmy out, and maybe Tyler can show something. But it's a bad, bad fit. So again, of course, yeah, you saw them come out guns blazing, and it happens almost every time one of their main guys is out. And we're like, why can they do this without one of their main guys? Because they stopped standing around staring at each other, waiting for somebody to do something.
Alf, I don't disagree with anything you said, and that's coming from someone that is, you know, still trotting out the Tyler Hero serial. I think some of that, honestly, is there's a certain pressure that gets alleviated for Tyler, Jimmy, on the floor. And that goes back to their first year together. I remember us having conversations really early on about Tyler just feeling like when he's playing with his big brother and Jimmy's out there and he misses a shot, it like weighs on him. And some of that is still carried over year to year to year. And you're seeing it right now with this aggressiveness that he plays with when Jimmy's not there. It's that sense of pressure that's just off his back where it's like, okay, you know what? I can fuck up and look to my left and there's not going to be this guy staring me down and just feeling this, you know, because at the end of the day, the ball's still going to come back to me on the next possession.
I mean, they play loose, they play free. And this is, I'm not blaming either guy. I'm just saying the two of them, not at all. And honestly, where they work the best is when Tyler Hero's off the bench. And the only reason I say it needs to be Tyler is because Jimmy will never go to the bench, right? So let's be serious about this. And I don't want to do the should Tyler start show because honestly,
they got no choice now.
Yeah, it doesn't matter anymore. Like, what are we
exactly.
doing?
Exactly. That's a moot conversation chat, at this point.
Either 23-16 the season when missing one of Jimmy, Tyler, or Bam. Like, come on, guys. Like, at some point, we have 5 years of this to show us, like, what's really going on. And so now that's why this – so going back to, like, why – I'm not super confident, but why, like – I'm like, this is going to be fun. We're going to see a different team. We're going to see a looser team. We're probably going to see a team like tonight that plays faster for more stretches during the game. It's because Jimmy's not there and Tyler gets to play completely free. He's not deferring to anybody. And even when he's not having to defer to anybody, look at him, 9 assists tonight. Like, it's dope. Like, it is what it is.
I mean, he was spectacular today. And I mean, he had a damn near triple double, showed up win their season when he needed. And to be honest with you, I didn't kill him last show either. Because I just thought he played a good floor game. He just missed shots. And I'm never going to kill a guy who does all the right things and just misses shots. I think it becomes a problem when it's like, okay, bro, that's like, you know, like I understand with Lowry, you know, last year in 22 and in 23, like all he did was miss shots. And I understood. I was like, okay, there's only so much goodwill that you can buy yourself. You got to hit shots. But I mean, Tyler hits shots. That's never really been his problem. It's just all the other stuff. And, you know, I thought against Philly, he did everything that they asked him to do and more. His passing has gotten a lot better. It's just, and I think he'll benefit.
It was so weird for me. Like, I don't know how you felt. I wasn't even mad at Tyler until like the game was over and I read Twitter. Like, I didn't even know I was supposed to be mad at Tyler this last game. I'm not even trying to make excuses for him. Like, I just watched him. I watched him take a bunch of bad shots, miss a bunch of bad shots.
Shot but
I
also saw game, him though.
At the end of the game, like, if it wasn't for him, like, it would have been a 12-point loss.
What more can you ask of him? I mean, yes, don't get me wrong. You would like for him to not go over and back there on the half-court line. But at the end of the day, the only reason you're still in is because he did get bumped. It should have been on the two-minute report, but that's a whole other discussion.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, well, all you really need of him is to just keep your offensive float to an extent and hit crucial shots at the end, which is the one thing that he always does. No matter how shitty his game is for four quarters, when it's the last 2 minutes, you know that you can put the ball in his hands and he can hit a crucial shot when you need it.
And listen, man, who knew Batum was going to go fucking crazy, right? Like, it was just – it was weird how mad people were at the Heat Jimmy – they were playing 4-on-5 out there until they took Jimmy out of the game because he couldn't – by the end of the game, he couldn't move. He was actually hurting the team, right? Batum went – I mean, what would that crazy flip behind the head put back. Yeah. Like, what was that shit? Like, it was just a lot of dumb shit. Then they literally were trying to close out a game with against full court pressure with no point guard. I just didn't really know what people wanted from them. Like, you're playing in Philly with Joel Embiid on the court, and then you play Joel Embiid and Maxey perfectly all game, and of course, at some point, they're going to start hitting shots. What you didn't bake on was fucking Nick Batum going
like it's 1999.
Like, yeah. They literally played that game perfectly. It was just, I don't know, I didn't understand the anger. That's why I walked away from that game. Like, I wasn't mad at anybody. I was like, fuck, that sucks. But Heat in five, because I'm not a coward.
I mean, honestly, I expected it, you know. I knew it was going to come down to tonight. I took the Heat points. I told everyone to, if you look at my Twitter. But I will say, to everything that you're saying, Alf, I really think Tyler's going to relish this opportunity leading going up against Boston in this series. I think you're going to see a more focused player from the jump because he understands, like, yes, it's going to be more on me. We're going to be without Jimmy, but I think it's just going to be a different Tyler Hero, for better and for worse. And let's be honest, we know there's going to be a lot of chatter this offseason around Tyler Hero. This season could really be beneficial for him and his narrative around the league, especially heading into this crucial offseason.
Now, honestly, I'm happy for Tyler and to get this opportunity. I really am. And honestly, I'm happy for – if he shits the bed, he shits the fucking bed. Like, I'm done baby. Like, I don't think the Heat need to baby him anymore. I don't think the fan base – they don't baby him anyway. Like,
no,
but there's still
a
portion of the fan base that babies him. This is a good opportunity for him. Like, you want to be talked about with the Maxies and the you know, that level of player.
Change the narrative. This is your chance.
Go out and drop 40 in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
Because ain't nobody else going to do it on this team. Bam is going to give you 20 and really good defense.
I want to close the show with that. Bam, they need something out of you. What did he have tonight? And again, they didn't
not enough. Not enough rebounds. They he did not have it. Enough rebounds.
Honestly, I'll tell you what. Like, if Bam plays this game against Boston, and like he does to like either Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum what he did to DeMar DeRozan,
no,
I don't know. Fucking, he has 2 points. No, dog, I'm tired. You tired of that?
They need. No, they need more than 13 out of him. They just need more than 13 out of him.
Man. Yeah, 13-4. Not enough. Not enough. 11.5. Not enough.
I mean, Moose is like, especially the four.
Fuck.
Yeah. And I don't mean playing up there.
Gambling aside, like, I don't. I don't care.
I would agree with you if Jimmy was on the team and they had another place to find offense. They're going to need Big Fella to get them at least 20. Because, like, Boston...
I mean, that's fine. 20 is fine. 18 to 20 points, whatever.
Yeah. That's what they need. I mean, because I can be honest with you, Bam getting 40, that's a nice thing. It's not something to depend on.
And not with what he has to do on the defensive end as well. Especially in this series.
It's not who he is. I think against Boston, though, you know, they're going to play lineups that they're going to be a little more, like, flexible for him to attack. And, you know, it's kind of those smaller lineups. And I think that's where he's going to have to really, really be aggressive. I think when Boston plays bigger, it's going to be a jump shooting series for him. It's like, can you get to that little pull up? Can you get to that turnaround? Which I think he's hit at an okay rate lately, but I'm going to need a little bit more of that. They're going to need Tyler and Duncan to find him slipping and rolling, because Boston's going to be really aggressive at the top of the pick and roll. So I'm going to need more out of him, man.
Somebody in the chat points out, Drew and White, when our ball handlers are here on Caleb, is going to be a turnover nightmare. Like, besides just defense, he's going to have to play the point a lot of times. Like, he is going to have to bring the ball up a ton against that pressure.
That's why they need Duncan, Alf, to just bring the fucking ball up.
They do. Like, I don't know if I change the starting lineup. But I need,
Would you go Highsmith just to have somebody for Tatum
over Caleb or over Jaime?
That's a great question.
I would go over Caleb.
I was going to say,
especially after this game with Jaime, I let him have the opportunity until he fucks it up after game one.
Listen, bro. Like,
I think Highsmith should start. I think Highsmith got to start against Boston. They're not, but I think he should.
Don't threaten me with a good time benching Caleb. Like, don't
bench. Yo, that's the one guy you're just like, send his ass
all fucking season.
And when he missed those two fucking free throws. Prison abolition until you have to jail Caleb.
Put Caleb in Guantanamo.
But listen, Caleb in Boston is a different player. Caleb
he
in Boston
went under,
is different.
He went under a screen today, and he does like this. And then when you look up, Vucevic is hitting the three.
So drunk.
Huh?
You made him look so drunk.
But he's just too fucking cool for school. Like, who goes under a screen like
this?
It was
like dancing.
Alf,
like,
you look like a guy who dropped their phone at a club, and you're just
that's what he
for
looked
it.
Like.
Trying to pick it up while still in the beat, you know?
Yeah.
Staying in that pocket.
That's exactly what he – and then Vucevic hits a three. Like, if he just had his head up and put his arm up. But no, he's too cool for fucking school sometimes. Drives me fucking insane. And those two fucking missed three free throws for Chicken. That was the fucking game.
That changed the game. That changed the game.
Bro, I forgot about that, and thanks for reminding me.
Fucking.
Didn't he have a turnover right after that, too?
No, he had, like, one of the worst sequences.
It was really bad. It was, like, two. Bam missed the two free throws going into the half, and I was like, uh-oh.
I had just tweeted before then, please, guys, close the quarter strong.
I saw that. I did the same thing, bro. I think against the Sixers, I was like, guys, do not let go of the rope. Close this quarter strong. And I think something similar happened. That might have been the Caleb sequence.
It's a 6-0 run at the end of every quarter. Like, they'll go up 18. They go into the half 12.
Bro, at this point, I'd rather them just take shot clock violations and just run clock.
Just stop.
Hell, bro.
Stop. Just don't dribble. Just walk out of bounds.
Just walk out of bounds. But, yeah, guys, I mean, listen.
No, okay, so you didn't see the halftime show.
I did not.
So,
please fill me in.
So Kendrick Perkins, first of all, just shit analysis, right? Kendrick Perkins was like, it ain't the Heat defense. They just missing open shots. And I'm sorry if I sound like
I don't know if we're allowed to laugh. I'm just going to sit through it.
I'm sorry if I sound like a black character from Gone with the Wind, but that's what Kendrick Perkins
sounded
like.
It's okay. You lived in Louisiana.
They just missing shots. And but in the whole broadcast, I think it was Ian Eagle and Richard Jefferson are talking about how good the fucking Heat defense was. Then they get to halftime. It ain't about the Heat defense. They just missing shots.
Oh,
and
wow.
Then he's like,
okay.
And I'm really, really disappointed in this Miami Heat crowd. It's like, okay, bro. Like, you have no analysis.
It was a
like,
bad crowd, though.
Okay.
Well, 7 p.m. tip off on a Friday. That's on the NBA.
Listen,
they should know fucking better. Come on.
Let's talk about that. But, like, what are you doing with crowd talk on a nationally broadcasted halftime show.
You got nothing.
Like, and come on. Like, this is why ESPN is the fuck. Like, ESPN's NBA coverage is the worst.
Awful. Yeah.
It is the absolute fucking worst. Like, Kendrick Perkins is one of your lead analysts. Kendrick Perkins, like, doesn't sound like he graduated middle school. Kendrick Perkins is one of your lead analysts. You guys can't laugh at that. I can.
Just nodding my head.
I can laugh at Kendrick Perkins being stupid. I'm comfortable.
It's like Knickerbocker. I still don't feel comfortable with it.
Careful.
Here comes a corpse of Mike Wilbon, who literally hasn't moved the entire halftime
show. I hate that guy, bro. Because I don't like him.
They dragged him out there. Nobody changed his fucking diaper, so he's cranky. And, like, literally, he sat there the whole time like this. Let me back up. And, like, the only time he perked up – no, first of all, his analysis was, this is going to be a close game at the end of it. Yeah, 30 points, idiot. But that was the only thing he said.
Isn't he a Bulls fan, too? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Until Kendrick Perkins brought up the crowd, like, oh, yeah. Oh, that's always been a bad fan base. A bunch of front runners. Like, you fucking grown-ass man. You fucking grown-ass loser. Like, what are you doing? Like, what are we doing here? Like, it's just the worst fucking halftime show. It's like they are such lowest common denominator analysts. Like, the funny thing is, like, you get better analysis from the color guys on the floor than you do when you go throw back. Like, they'll have JJ Redick calling a game and even
phenomenal at it, by the way. Love when Jay is on the broadcast.
But Doris has lost me. But anyway, like, enough with the glazing. But, like, they throw it back to the fucking studio, and these guys suck. Like, it's like they didn't even – Stephen A. saying nothing. Like, it's just – I don't know. And then – so, but that was my whole thing, and that's why I called Kendrick Perkins a country bitch on Twitter.
Yeah. Well, thank you for clarifying. I'm glad we discussed that. It's very important.
Yeah.
No, they're awful, at the end of the show.
No, it's good. It's good.
Fucking how does Tony Kornheiser age better than you, Mike Wilbon? That's sad. That's an upset.
Yeah, he honestly looks like Michael Wilbon died like 3 years ago, and they just keep – it's a Weekend at Bernie situation.
They just keep rolling him out.
He's looking more and more like Bobby Brown by the day.
Zipper sweater thing.
Do you remember when, like, he wore a Cubs jersey over like a shirt and tie? It's a fucking – remember when he said Lawrence O'Brien trophy? Like, I fucking hate that guy.
Does he? Oh my God, you're so right. He does. Bro, he's the worst. I'm so fucking sick of him.
He calls Magic Irvin. Like, the best is, like, when they brought out their new halftime show, and it was like Mike Greenberg.
Yeah, because they don't use him enough.
Yeah, exactly. Who? Everyone needs more Greeny in their fucking lives.
Yeah.
Mike Greenberg, Mike Wilbon, Magic Johnson, and, like, Jalen Rose, and everybody's like, who?
Jalen's the only dude I like.
Yeah.
And honestly, I'm tired of Jalen Rose reading. So everything Jalen Rose says, it's like he wrote it down first. Like, and he has to give everybody's fucking entire resume.
Jalen Rose still work for the company?
Alex Musabai, Drip Drop, Big Tyler Hero fan, MHB, 5 years running, hot panelists. Like, and then he'll start talking like Giancarlo Navas, founder of Miami Heat Beat. Host of the post-game show. Host of the Miami Heat podcast.
You platform me, remember.
Good friends with Ethan Skolnick. Like, I like Jalen.
It
but,
is funny.
Like, he's pretty annoying, too.
I like when they do Shanae, Malika, and that's about it. I don't really like anybody else.
And we know why you like that.
Love Shanae. No, what?
You pervert.
Shanae's great and knows ball. At least he played and is like has a modern mind for the game, unlike Kendrick Perkins.
When her and Richard Jefferson are on making fun of Kendrick Perkins on whatever their daily show
is. I love RJ.
Easy.
RJ's good.
Yeah.
RJ's great. RJ's great. JJ Redick. They have so many talented.
But they
people.
Do the games. They're broadcasting. They're not.
But they even do the weekly show and they're really good.
Yeah.
And then
NBA Today.
Then for their big halftime show, nationally televised, with everybody watching, they trot out fucking Mike Wilbon's corpse, fucking Jim Crow Kendrick Perkins, and fucking Stephen A. Smith, who I mean,
well, listen, if you allow me to put on my stream beat hat here for just a minute, part of that comes back to their contracts, that they're full-time ESPN employees, whereas JJ Redick has his own production company, so he's a part-time ESPN employee. It's a little bit of a difference there. They can't necessarily be used for the national show unless they're full-time. So, you know, come over to stream beat. We'll do a whole broadcast on it. I'll explain the background to you on why they are in this shitty situation.
Or at least be entertaining.
Rohan's unemployed. Put him on.
But at least be entertaining. Like debatable. TNT, the TNT halftime show, they don't know shit.
They're fun. Like,
no, but they lean into it. They know that they don't know shit and they have fun with it.
And they have a and then we're
like, hey, see what Chuck said? That was funny.
Ernie Johnson's the fucking best. Like, this is like, it's
they
not,
used to
it's
be
not,
better, though. They've fallen off. Remember when they used to put Chuck on a bike with a Twinkie? What happened to those days? There's been a death of props.
Bend his knees the same way, you know.
There's a death of props on these shows that I miss. You know, the props are good.
CGI, AI, it's ruining everything.
Props are good.
Someone said I once called Quinn Snyder a coked out zombie.
You did.
Did I?
Sounds accurate. Yeah,
you said that. You said that on Hot. You also said one time Nikias looks like a chicken nugget.
I said Nikias looks like a chicken nugget.
Yes.
No. Really?
No, you said Max Strus looks like a chicken nugget.
Yeah, I was gonna say no. He also looked.
And then,
you
deported.
Yeah.
You deported Max Strus to like Georgia or Eastern Europe.
You also got mad at me for calling Max Strus Mr. Fourth Quarter, and then look what happened.
Yeah,
there.
You did. Yeah. And you're listen, right. I asked Max Strus is not walking through that door, and they didn't need him to walk through that door because they didn't even have to come back in the fourth quarter to
there
beat
was
the
no,
Bulls this time.
Nah, he's busy recruiting Donovan Mitchell for us.
That's progress. So. Boston, 1 p.m. on Sunday.
G, can't wait.
Can't wait. We got you covered for postgame right here on Miami Heat Beat. You know it's going to be exciting. Listen.
Reigning Eastern Conference champions back to fuck it up again.
If they fucking win, I'm going to tell you.
No, guys.
If they win, G's going to be devastated.
Okay, listen.
Not back. We're in. I'm in. But you know,
I have
let's
been
go.
Soothsaying ever since Jimmy went down. They're not going to win game one. It's going to probably be a blowout game one. Ooh, but game two, boy.
Let us get game two. Don't
let us get one in Boston. Because that crowd will be on time for game three. I don't know. Maybe not. Yeah.
There's no way.
20 minutes early.
There's no way. Chat's asking me to sage. I don't think we're in a sage situation yet.
Not yet. That's for 0-2, elimination.
If they're 0-2.
Yeah.
Coming
yeah, if they're 0-2,
Miami.
Maybe. But you know, we're not at Sage. And by the way, the vibes are good right now. So
yeah, there's no saging needed.
Fantastic. You sage bad vibes or when it feels bad.
These guys were laughing, high fiving, like they were finishing fast breaks.
Yeah, what the fuck was that?
First of all, can we talk about that shit?
What the fuck was that?
Rob Slater, I think both Rob Slater and Trilly on Twitter both said if they finish 60% of their fast breaks, they'd be
a number two seed.
Like, easily. Like, it's the worst fast break team in the history of basketball. And
they'd
I'm talking about every level.
A watchable
I'm talking about
offense.
Professional, college, high school, peewee, like, JCC. This is the worst fast break team ever. Until tonight, like, we actually got some dunks in transition. Like, I mean, listen, if this is how they're going to play... Heat five.
Don't let us get one. Don't
you already know.
Don't let us get one. We got you covered, guys. This isn't so bad. I guess playoffs start. This isn't the end of the regular season. I don't even know what to call the play in. Is it the postseason? Does this count as a postseason?
Listen, I wore my playoff hat since 2010. This hat is only for the playoffs. I busted out tonight because tonight was a playoff game in my books.
I wore my playoff hair.
Why were people going at your hairline?
I don't know. People just assume that because I'm old, I got a bad hairline. So,
okay, let's do quick predictions. Moose, your honest prediction.
I can't do that. Can't do that. I'm in character right now. Heat in five.
What did the line open up, you addict?
You know what? I'll say Celtics in six. I really do think that we can get two.
You think we can get two?
I'm telling you, we can get one with our backs against the wall, and then one more.
They
at
gotta
home
get
from
one
guy.
Of them. If they're gonna do that, they gotta get because they're not winning two games in a row.
Did I say two games in a row?
I don't think they win. I don't think they get game three and game four.
Well, you know, somebody here's got to
I think they got to, like, I actually disagree with you. I think they got to get game one. And
no, they don't. Spo doesn't need game one. Spo, here's the thing.
I'm with Alf on this. I don't think game one is make or break.
Teams and weak-minded coaches have to get game one.
Mm-hmm.
Spo loses game one. I mean, first of all, I think he needs to lose game one to figure out what to do game two. Right? Like, I don't think he's going to come out with some, like, they're not talented enough to dictate game one. So they almost have to go get their asses beat game one, figure it the fuck out. Spo's got to go back to the lab. And I think game two, and I think they might get game three. Celtics get game four. He get game five and game six. Heat and six.
Boom!
Okay.
Boom! That's how the guy does it.
Bruce says Heat and five.
What did I miss?